Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 17th day of April. It is day 108 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter. I am your brother and your Bible reading coach. And we are going to do what we do every day. We're going to let this Bible point the way to the one who is the living Word of God, to Jesus, God in all of his fullness revealed to us. And today we're going to read in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 19. That's where we'll start. And then we go on to 1 Chronicles, chapter 7. Then on to Psalm 59. And we'll finish in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. This is the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 19. Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. "Tomorrow morning," he warned him, "you must find a hiding place out in the fields. I'll ask my father to go there with me, and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll tell you everything I can find out." The next morning, Jonathan spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. "The king must not sin against his servant David," Jonathan said. "He's never done anything to harm you. He's always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant and how the Lord brought a great victory to all Israel as a result? You were certainly happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man like David? There's no reason for it at all." So Saul listened to Jonathan and vowed, "As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed." Afterward, Jonathan called David and told him what had happened. Then he brought David to Saul, and David served in the court as before. War broke out again after that, and David led his troops against the Philistines. He attacked them with such fury that they all ran away. But one day when Saul was sitting at home with a spear in his hand, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him again. As David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David, but David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. Then Saul sent troops to watch David's house. They were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, "If you don't escape tonight, you'll be dead by morning." So she helped him climb out through a window, and he fled and escaped. Then she took an idol and put it in his bed, covering it with blankets, and put a cushion of goat's hair at its head. Then the troops came to arrest David. She told them he was sick and couldn't get out of bed, but Saul sent the troops back to get David. He ordered, "Bring him out to me in his bed so I can kill him." But when they came to carry David out, they discovered that it was only an idol in the bed, with a cushion of goat's hair at its head. "Why have you betrayed me like this and let my enemy escape?" Saul demanded of Michal. "I had to," Michal replied. "He threatened to kill me if I didn't help him." So David escaped and went to Ramah to see Samuel, and he told him all that Saul had done to him. Then Samuel took David with him to live at Naoth. When the report reached Saul that David was at Naoth in Ramah, he sent troops to capture him. But when they arrived and saw Samuel leading a group of prophets who were prophesying, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also began to prophesy. When Saul heard what had happened, he sent other troops, but they too prophesied. The same thing happened a third time. Finally, Saul himself went to Ramah and arrived at the great well of Sekhur. "Where are Samuel and David?" he demanded. "They are at Naoth in Ramah," someone told him. But on the way to Naoth in Ramah, the Spirit of God came even upon Saul, and he too began to prophesy all the way to Naoth. He tore off his clothes and lay naked on the ground all day and all night, prophesying in the presence of Samuel. The people who were watching exclaimed, "What? Is even Saul a prophet?" 1 Chronicles 7. The four sons of Issachar were Tola, Puha, Jeshub, and Shimron. The sons of Tola were Usi, Raphaiah, Jeriah, Jamiah, Ibsam, and Shemuel. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. At the time of King David, the total number of mighty warriors listed in the records of these clans was 22,600. The son of Uzi was Isriah. The sons of Isriah were Michal, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishiah. These five became the leaders of clans. All of them had many wives and many sons, so the total number of men available for military service among their descendants was 36,000. The total number of mighty warriors from all the clans of the tribe of Issachar was 87,000. All of them were listed in their genealogical records. Three of Benjamin's sons were Bela, Becher, and Jediel. The five sons of Bela were Ezbon, Uzi, Uziel, Jerimoth, and Iri. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. The total number of mighty warriors from these clans was 22,034, as listed in their genealogical records. The sons of Becher were Zimariah, Joash, Eliezer, Elioniah, Omri, Jerimoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Elameth. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. The total number of mighty warriors and leaders from these clans was 20,200, as listed in their genealogical records. The son of Jadiel was Bilhan. The sons of Bilhan were Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Kanah, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahishahar. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. From these clans, the total number of mighty warriors ready for war was 17,200. The sons of Ir were Shuppim and Huppim. Hushim was the son of Eher. The sons of Naphtali were Jahaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shilim. They were all descendants of Jacob's concubine, Bilhah. The descendants of Manasseh through their Aramean concubine included Asriel. She also bore Machir, the father of Gilead. Machir found wives for Huppim and Shuppim. Machir had a sister named Makkah. One of his descendants was Zelophehad, who had only daughters. Makir's wife, Makkah, gave birth to a son whom she named Peresh. His brother's name was Sheresh. The sons of Peresh were Ulam and Rakem. The son of Ulam was Bidan. All these were considered Gileadites, descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh. Machir's sister, Hamolaketh, gave birth to Ishhad, Abiezer, and Mahala. The sons of Shemida were Ahian, Shechem, Lachi, and Aniem. The descendants of Ephraim were Shetalah, Bered, Tahath, Eledah, Tahath, Zebad, Sheluthah, Eser, and Eliad. These two were killed trying to steal livestock from the local farmers near Gath. Their father Ephraim mourned for them a long time, and his relatives came to comfort him. Afterward, Ephraim slept with his wife, and she became pregnant, and gave birth to a son. Ephraim named him Beriah, because of the tragedy his family had suffered. He had a daughter named Shirah. She built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth-Horon and Uzen Sha'ir. The descendants of Ephraim included Raphah, Reshef, Telah, Tahan, Ladan, Amihud, Elishama, and Joshua. The descendants of Ephraim lived in the territory that included Bethel and its surrounding towns to the south, Naran to the east, Gezer and its villages to the west, and Shechem and its surrounding villages to the north, as far as Ayah and its towns. Along the border of Manasseh were the towns of Beit Shan, Tanakh, Megiddo, Dor, and their surrounding villages. The descendants of Joseph, son of Israel, lived in these towns. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. They had a sister named Sarah. The sons of Beriah were Heber and Milkil, the father of Bizraith. The sons of Heber were Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham. They had a sister named Shua. The sons of Japhlet were Pesach and Ashvath. The sons of Shomer were Ahi, Rogah, Hubmah, and Aram. The sons of his brother Helam were Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Ammal. The sons of Zophah were Shaua, Henefer, Shual, Beri, Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shuma, Shilshah, Ithran, and Birah. The sons of Jether were Jephuna, Pispah, and Arah. The sons of Ula were Arah, Haniel, and Risia. Each of these descendants of Asher were the head of an ancestral clan. They were all select men, mighty warriors, and outstanding leaders. The total number of men available for military service was 26,000, as listed in their genealogical records. Psalm 59, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Saul sent soldiers to watch David's house in order to kill him, to be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, Lord. Though I have not sinned or offended them, I have done nothing wrong. Yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up! See what is happening and help me. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, wake up and punish those hostile nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They come out at night, snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. Listen to the filth that comes from their mouths. Their words cut like swords. After all, who can hear us? They sneer. But Lord, you laugh at them. You scoff at all the hostile nations. You are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my fortress. In his unfailing love, my God will stand with me. He will let me look down in triumph on all my enemies. Don't kill them, for my people soon forget such lessons. Stagger them with your power and bring them to their knees, O Lord, our shield. Because of the sinful things they say, because of the evil that's on their lips, let them be captured by pride. Their curses and their lies, destroy them in your anger. Wipe them out completely. Then the whole world will know that God reigns in Israel. My enemies come out at night, snarling like vicious dogs as they prowl the streets. They scavenge for food, but go to sleep unsatisfied. But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I'll sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you've been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress. O my strength, to you I sing praises. For you, O God, are my refuge, the God who shows me unfailing love. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple, and said, If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, He will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'll give it all to you, he said, if you'll kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angel came and took care of Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah, In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began to preach, Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. And now may our Lord give his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. Jesus is out in the desert being tempted by Satan. In the desert, he's demonstrating his union and dependence on his Father and the Spirit. On the outside, it seems that he's alone. And after 40 days of no food, on the outside, it might seem that he's becoming weak. And this is the point of Satan's attack. When it appears that he is alone and weak, he challenges Jesus to break with his Father and the Spirit, to save himself, to get what he came for, to abandon the community of love that he shares with his Father and the Spirit, to take the throne of solitary and sovereign power. And this, of course, is where Adam failed. He abandoned the community of love for solitary and sovereign control. And this is where you and I fail. But where we fail, Jesus will not. Seeing our need, he comes and does what we cannot. And because he overcomes, he wins for us our place back into the community of love. Jesus would not be deterred. He would overcome the temptation by demonstrating his union and utter dependence upon his Father and the Spirit. He would win these battles and he would win the war. And because he won the war on the cross, all of humanity has been invited into God's community of love. And now he invites us to participate with him, with the Father and the Spirit, victorious with him over the evil one, ready to live a life of dependence upon God, living in the reality of our union with God in Christ. Union and communion, victory and joy are ours. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You have once again spent a perfectly good 20 minutes investing into your soul. And that, my friend, is well worth the investment. Soul work, my friend. It's going to take some soul work to do this life the way it needs to be done. Some intention, some effort, some thought, some wisdom. There's just a whole lot that's going to have to happen for us to embrace and receive and live in the abundant life that is ours in Jesus. And that's a good thing. Don't let yourself think that somehow it's beyond you, because, well, it is, but it's not beyond Him. And He's with you every step of the way. And we can learn. We can actually grow. We can actually experience change. And I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Hey, one thing I'd love for you to do, if you haven't done this already, is to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you get yours. That simple act of kindness and intention is not only good for myself, it's good for those folks that have yet to find what we're doing here and are eager and hungry to find this kind of content, this kind of community, this kind of experience. And your simple gesture can make a big difference. So would you do it? Would you subscribe and like and share this podcast? And hey, before I let you go, let me encourage you, if you are able, to get yourself outside and enjoy some of God's creation. I know all of you can't do that, but if you can, it is highly recommended. I'm looking out my window right now, and it felt like spring today. Beautiful outside, sun was out most of the time, and it felt good to go on a little walk. Felt good for my soul, talking about that soul work again. And some of you are not able to do that. Well, let me encourage you to open up a window, take a good look outside, just bask in the beauty of what is before you, and let it bless your soul. Well, what do you say we come back and have our souls blessed again tomorrow? That's my plan. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.